Welcome to the Rocket Files, coaching uncut.
Welcome back to Rocket Files. This is Rodney Eed, welcoming Mark Stevens again this week. Hi, Mark.
G'day, Rocket. Another great weekend of footy, wasn't it? Nathan Buckley.
Yes.
1 week a bit of a chump. He's a genius again. He made a few good moves on the weekend, and perhaps there's life for the Magpies after all.
Yeah, it was certainly a good win, wasn't it? I think they deserved to win by more than four goals. I think that flattered the Blues in the end. But I think Bucks's idea of rotating the mids at full forward, which was Treloar and Sidebottom.
It's an oldie but a goodie, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's going to be happening more often. Leon Cameron's been doing it the first few weeks. I think it was Kelly. Last week, Cornelio, even though they didn't get the points, he was able to take a couple of strong marks. Taranto as well, playing in the goal square. And I think the thing with the Buckley move, that Sidebottom and Treloar are able to get off Jones. Now, Jones is a good player, but I think he thinks there's still eight defenders like they had last year, so he was able to come off like Rance and able to support. But with the fact they're only playing the six defenders, he just needed to be a bit tighter on his opponent, and they were smart enough to get the footy.
But with Jones, I mean, he likes it long and high, doesn't he? The spoil, he just looked lost.
Yeah, that's
on the
right.
Lead. I mean, yeah. He went back to the old Bulldog Lamb Jones, Rocket.
Yeah, well, I think he liked it long and high. There's no doubt about that because he can jump because of his height. But he has got good speed, so he needs to. I think mentally he got sucked into thinking that was his only way of playing. Well, he needed to pay respect to his opponents, who were good players. They hit them up on the lead. If he was playing closer to them, he's got good closing speed, but he just wanted the ball long and high.
But he better get used to that now. Obviously, coaches are going to look at that, aren't they?
They will. It'll be interesting to see how they go, and it'll be interesting to see how Carlton play from now on, because they've gone out attack. Even the first round, they got a few plaudits for it, but Richmond had 71 inside 50s. Richmond didn't play that well that night, had a lot of scoring shots. So whether Carlton need to get that bit more of a balance, they've really gone from defence, or from a defensive mindset, right up to attack. And it doesn't seem to be working. But I think you can have balance. I think they need to get that defensive aspect back.
Do you think they've improved, Rocket? I mean, it's a reset. That was the term used. The finger's still on the button, though. The button's stuck.
No, I think that's a good point. I think with anything, it's the same with the Brisbane Lions. If you're down the bottom, even if they're for a couple of years, the expectations are that you will improve. So everyone's got some pressure on them. And I think the Blues, over the pre-season, everyone thought they would improve. I found it hard on the surface that they would improve a lot. They lose Gibbs, they lose Doherty, so it's two of their best three players. Cruiser is obviously had a good season last year, but he's getting older. He's had a couple of injuries now. I just didn't know where the improvement was going to come from. And so the questions are going to be asked about their list, or is it the fact, the game plan, or the way they're going about it? So it'll be interesting to see over the next month. It will really tell a tale about Carlton.
You've had a few good jobs, obviously, a lot of jobs in footy. What about Bolton's deal, the rolling deal? I mean, is it a big deal, basically? Because he's almost got 6 months' notice, hasn't he? So he's not on a contract, but he rolls over, and then if he does get sacked, he gets a fair payout anyway.
Yeah, I would think if they don't improve a lot this year, I would think they'd be looking otherwise. I think he's set some platforms in place, you know, some bases, probably some education ways, but they're caught in between at the moment. The other thing, I'm not too sure about their list. Now, inside mids, they've got Cripps as a star, they've got young Kennedy from GWS, who was okay the other night without being great, but they haven't got a lot of speed inside. They've got a little bit of speed on the outside, but I just worry about their skill level will be able to maintain the footy.
Slow burn then, Rocket, isn't it? But I just get the feeling that Bolton's going to be given every opportunity. You know, he's got this rolling deal, and he just seems to be on an endless honeymoon. He might get another 3 or 4 years. What's your take?
I'm not totally convinced on that in today's footy. I think the natives will get restless if there's not improvement. Whatever they won last year, I don't know, say six games or seven games. They'll need to at least equal that, even eight games. They will need to see some improvement. Otherwise, I think the natives will become impatient.
But all the messaging has been along that patience and there will be time. I mean, that coaches seem to get a long stint these days, maybe unless you're up on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of security in footy, isn't there, really?
Yeah, there is, but I think it's secure as well. I mean, people get impatient, and it's not even impatient. It's just, say, I think the question is, how long do you have patience for? That clubs can only wheel out the youth policy or the development policy for so long. They can't do that for 6 years. I mean, that there needs to be some ground made.
But it's interesting, though, to rebuild a slow burn, and there's no guarantees there.
No, there's no guarantee.
St Kilda going through the Chris Pelham model where he sort of did the Hawthorn, where they peel it back, get early draft picks and then rebuild. It hasn't happened.
No, I think every model has got its flaws because it's humans. It depends who you pick. depends who you have on your list. The game changes that quickly. Are you keeping pace with the game as well? So, yeah, I'd certainly keep a watch on Carlton, whether they're going to improve or not.
We're talking about security. John Worsfold, a two-year extension already. And they're looking wobbly at the moment. What's your take on what's happening out at Tullamarine?
That's certainly some worries, isn't it? You have a look at their round one. They play the grand finalist. I know people say they just overran them in 20 minutes of footy, but I thought their pressure was good. They had numbers around the ball. The contested ball was great. Then the next two games just dropped off. It has to be a mental attitude thing, which is what we'll discuss in the next segment. Teams are going early with coaches, but it can put them in a precarious situation, because the game changes that quickly. And if you have a streak of six or eight games, the natives are going to get really unhappy. So I think there's some real worries with the way Essendon are going about it. They seem to be wanted all on their terms, not prepared to get their hands dirty. There's a lot of good players out of form. They don't defend exceptionally well. Really, the Bulldogs should have won by another four or five goals. They had 1-8 at one stage and 2-10 or wherever they had, and they had a lot of opportunity. And just the energy that the Bulldogs brought was fantastic.
Are they flexible enough, Essendon? Because it seemed to be more of the same. There wasn't a lot of change-up with the forward line, wasn't working. The Bulldogs are undermanned in defence, and yet they seem to have total control.
No, you're right. You have the best laid plans, and just from experience, you plan well for the week, and then things don't work out in the first quarter. The opposition do something different, or those players aren't playing exceptionally well, so you need to change. But that doesn't seem to have a lot of flexibility. They threw Hooker back in the end, but maybe Hooker needed to go back early. He's a great intercept mark. At the same time, it allowed Hurley to play on a lesser player. Stringer's not a midfielder. Him going to the forward line with Stewart and Danaher gives them a bit of potency. Players are getting tagged out. They haven't got a lot of depth in the midfield. The first round, they played a lot of players through there, but there's not many A-graders as such. Heppel was struggling to a certain degree. I think with that, they just need to throw some things around.
Yeah, it just seems a little bit stodgy to me. What about Joe Danaher, Joe the Goose, if you like, the handball? That didn't quite happen. If you're a coach, are you angry with Danaher, number one, and also Josh Green? What's he doing calling for it, Rocket? Shouldn't he be saying, go back, kick the goal, put this game away,
or put us
back into it?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was an issue. When you mark it certainly 20 metres, maybe even 30 metres, within a 45-degree angle and in front, go back and kick the goal. And that's what he's paid for, Joe, is to kick goals. He's 10 out. So one is the guy with the footy controls the situation, but certainly Green shouldn't be calling for it. He just wanted a cheapie. I think he'll be one player that's under pressure now to stay on the side.
Yeah, old-fashioned sort of footballer, isn't he? Is he doing a lot defensively? Rocket seems to run harder one way than the other.
He does. I think if you've got that, it's an interesting point, I think if you've got that speed, you've really got to use that speed defensively, and that can be a real asset, as Richmond are showing at the moment, that he needs to be able to put some pressure on the forward line to keep the ball inside their forward 50. It does come out a bit too easy.
And Melbourne looked pretty solid to me. I mean, people talking about it was a pretty average game of footy, but they just got the job done. That's a game in the past that they might have dropped.
Yeah, their form's been okay. They haven't played the top teams yet. I was probably around one they could have beaten Geelong, obviously. But I think Brisbane are an improving team, so it's probably come away with a win up there. But they did get overrun a bit at the end. And playing North Melbourne, who people think are going to be in the bottom four. So they started to get tested this week against the Hawks. And I think the jury's still out. I think they've improved and they look solid. But without Jack Viney against the good sides, have they got enough grunt to get the job done?
Let's go back to school.
Well, into the coach's room and the whiteboard here. Rocket, just I'd like to delve into your mindset here. The mental side of the game, is it bigger than ever? We've seen huge fluctuations. Suddenly the Bulldogs look terrible for 2 weeks and then they just get that mongrel back.
Yeah, I think it is, Mark. I think the competition is that even now. I know we keep saying it year on and year out. Except for the probably top three or four teams, any one of the other teams underneath can win. And if you don't bring your A-grade game mentally, you mightn't play well, but you're still in the contest. And I think if you don't, you have a chance to get beaten by any team. And I think an example is Essendon. Round one brought some really good intensity, work around the ball, tough, won the game against a grand finalist. Then go to Perth and people make excuses, they don't travel well, which to me is a cop-out. And then they serve up what they did at the weekend. The opposite is what you talked about, the Bulldogs, really poor the first 2 weeks. And then just their intensity was back, just the mongrel they, as you said, they had maybe 2 years ago. Obviously they had some senior players come back in, which does help. There's no doubt experience does help. But if you get caught with your pants down playing against a team thinking that you're going to win easy, you're going to get rolled. An aspect of that is players read the press. coaches coach against it, about the subliminal thing that gets into the mind. There's no doubt Essendon players would have read about the Bulldogs, seen them play for 2 weeks. Oh, we're just going to win. I would have thought they've rolled out there. Things are just going to turn up. Well, they're the most dangerous time, is when you're playing against a team that's had a really bad week or a bad 2 weeks. In this industry, people, the team are going to come out fighting. There's no doubt. And whoever had the bad games of the weekend, they're going to rebound. I expect St Kilda, they're actually copping it now. I expect Essendon to bounce back.
But you know, St Kilda had their chance though this week, couldn't do it. So
Yeah, but that's the Bulldogs round one as well, didn't do it the second round. So 2 weeks, so they're starting to get the media will drop off for 1 week, you know, give them a chance. But when that happens 2 weeks in a row, so I'm not saying St Kilda will win, but I expect a far better performance.
What do you do if you're Woosha going into the Bulldogs game? Would he have raised that and said, look, beware of the wounded Bulldogs?
No doubt. No doubt you mentioned, because that's your worry as a coach, is the aspect of what the opposition are going to do. So there's two aspects to it. If your own team is playing really well, players actually believe the media, their own form or the team's form.
They don't read papers, players, though.
Yeah, that's not true. Social media today. And the other way is that if you're playing a team that's really in a rut or playing poorly, that they believe they just got to turn up. And interesting to me was after round one and they lost, was Mark Murphy saying about Carlton that they got comfortable going into the Gold Coast Suns game because they were pleased with their effort in round one. So they just thought they were going to win. And you're not going to be able to do that.
It's interesting. I reckon they had a lot of good publicity, Essendon, haven't they, for some reason. They got flogged in a final, but they were the buzz team over summer.
Yeah.
You can start believing in your own hype.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And probably that's a culture internally as well, not only the team, but maybe the club. Maybe they believe that they're entitled and enabled, that they're going all the hassles them, you know, they've had for the last 2 or 3 years, that there was going to turn the corner. I suppose they're recruiting as well, getting three name players was going to be the panacea, but as we see, it's not that at the moment.
And what about tagging? It just seems to be back in footy all of a sudden. Zach Merritt's getting tagged out of the game, which is a real worry for Essendon. Firstly, what do you do to fix that if you're Woosha?
Yeah, there's a couple of things to work on the taggers. Obviously, the player to work through it himself. If you've got a good midfield, it makes it easier because you've got other support. Now, Essendon haven't got a deep midfield, and they, except for Merritt, who's got a little bit of agility and speed, there's not a lot of pace in their midfield. So it's really on him. You get that player to tag another player to make a two-on-one, so he actually run with an opposition player. There's not many other positions, we'll play him another position, but there's not many other positions that Merritt can play. Whether he plays as a high forward, tag comes with him, then he plays as another midfielder, gives you a forward line 5v5, gives you space, you're actually crowding up more and creating numbers, so that may be an option for them.
What would you be saying to him, though, this week? Because it must be getting inside his mind at the moment.
I think you'd have to work with him, educate, look at tape, see how his mental space is. I don't know Zach Merritt at all, but you would think he'd have a bit of fight, he'd have some pride and be able to work his way through that. But your point about tagging, I don't think it ever left. I think some coaches went away from it because of this 18-man zone defence, but I made a point a couple of weeks ago. You can still tag. You tag the best player or a good player of the opposition out. It's got to help you try to win the game. And teams think we'll do it more and more. I think an example of the weekend, Fremantle with Aaron Hall. Now the young Banfield tagged Hall and he had 5 possessions. Hall, we know, can run the lines, break the lines, kick goals, give the team a lift. So you cut that out and that dries up an avenue for the team.
And Jacobs has come back in for North Melbourne, obviously with the foot issues that he's had, and immediately just locked on and shutting people out.
Yes, he is. And I think they're picking the right opponents for him. I think the week before that he didn't tag Jack Stephen, who's probably the best player, maybe Jack Stephen's speed and agility was going to be a problem for Jacobs. So he went to Seb Ross. This week he went to Oliver. So that inside mid who's hasn't got explosive speed, so they're picking a certain player for him. Now they'll be able to dry that player's, I suppose, ball winning ability up. It has to help the team.
Yeah, I like it as a footy fan though, and being in the media, we've got the head-to-head battles back. You can actually watch a match up all day.
Yeah, it'd be great. I think more and more teams will do it. I think probably if you play Geelong, they're more likely to tag Selwood than they are Dangerfield, because they know what they're going to get out of Selwood. Another way he plays, where Dangerfield can explode from a stoppage, he can go forward, take a mark, and that's the different options you've got to be able to have as a coach for that player if they struggle to tag where you actually play them that can help the team. And there are 4 or 5 different options, and teams have got to explore that and actually tease that out during the game rather than just let it roll on.
Welcome to the Press Box.
I like this one, Rocket. It's all about the journos and the news, the Press Box, and a little bit around with the MRP at the moment, big Aaron Sanderlands, bit of a bump to Lions there. Gee, it's line ball, isn't it? Pardon the pun, that he's escaped there.
Yeah, it is. I think the main thing is they worry about the consequences rather than the action. So the question is, do they need to be consistent on the action, or do they need to obviously make it open that it's about the consequences? Gray and Douglas have got to be really unlucky. I know there was an effect that they hurt the opposition player in the head, but they were attacking the footy. It was a real genuine attack on the ball.
As soon as you go off concussed, you're virtually
And that's
gone.
Right, but I don't think we can take away from the player trying to attack the footy. I suppose Cochin was the one last year, got off. To me, Douglas was very similar in many ways, attacked the ball. Sandlin's to me was, people say, well, it's an old-time shepherd, but and they said Lyons was within 5 metres of the ball, but Lyons wasn't even running to try and chase or put on. The ball was moving that quickly. He was away. I thought it was nearly off the ball because he wasn't expecting it. It was a bit like the hocking against Robert Harvey years ago, where he just made a beeline for him and just took him out. Now, fortunately, he didn't hurt him. But the consequences, to me, are irrelevant in many ways. It was the action.
Yeah, very dangerous action in a way. And it was similar, Rocket, in a way, to the GN Syracuse to Kaczynski one, which started all this, really. That was off the ball. At the time, the rule wasn't even in, but Gia cleaned up Cozzy.
Yeah, that's right.
Similar action, but he just got him high.
Yeah, that's right. He jumped into him, which I suppose for a big man, he needed to make some sort of contact high, but he ran past the ball. So that was, the Sandlin ones really is, it was an old time ship. It was an innocent bystander, really. He wasn't involved in the play. So to me, that was nearly off the ball.
The other one, obviously, we've got a biting case coming up, Rocket. Interesting that McKenna of the Bombers doesn't wear a mouth guard. I mean, seriously, what's going on? You'd have to put one in, wouldn't you, playing AFL football?
Yeah, you'd have to, because we've seen a lot of head knocks, accidental, the speed of the game. And if you value your teeth, you'd want to be wearing a mouth guard. And I think the club too, because they're going to be foot the bill, you'd think that they'd have to really force the player to... And you've got private health cover, but I don't know if the private health cover are going to actually cover you if you haven't got your mouth guard in, because you haven't taken the...
It protects the jaw as well, obviously. And did you have many players in your day that went out without that sort of protection?
There was a couple here and there, but I knew the medical staff were talking to them about the pros and cons. Some people say, some players say, I can't breathe properly. Well, I think they've just got to get used to it. Actually train it and they'll get used to it. It's nothing too bad.
An interesting side issue on the sidelines over in Perth. You've been to the stadium. The new LED lighting, obviously a little bit sharp. You've got two players going in, one with a cut hand and an arm, and another one with a fairly serious cut. Chris Scott's been, he's sort of sitting on the fence, to put it that way, at the moment. I think he's angry deep inside because, you could have lost those players. That's dangerous to run into the LED.
Oh, it is dangerous, because I heard Blitzard's had 17 stitches.
That's big.
And it is. And the more the issue can be now is an infection. So if he gets an infection because the wound doesn't heal properly, well, he's going to miss. He could miss 1 or 2 weeks.
He'd be sore anyway. Mate, if that happened to me, I'd be out for 2 months. Like, you're sore, aren't you, if you've got stitches
in
the hand?
You are, especially if it's in the hand, because obviously you're moving your hand consistently with tackling and marking the ball. That could split open, and certainly infection can get in. But the AFL are saying it's the same company, but who's done it at MCG and Etihad. But they must have done it differently to be able to cut the player's hands. It must be too sharp. There's not dull enough. I think it's quite dangerous.
Apparently when it's new, it's sharp, and in the weather it sort of dulls off, but it's not good enough, really, is it?
No, it's not. It's not the duty of care enough for players. Players can sue for that, I would have thought.
Yeah, so I think that one will blow up. I mean, you wouldn't be happy with that one. And I was in the rooms after the Bulldogs-Essendon game, Rocket, and your name was being mentioned. I interviewed Easton Wood on Channel 7. Obviously, Bevo called the players in for the song twice. There's probably 100 people in there. Billy Hector, all those old guys, all your old mates at the Bulldogs were in there singing it away. The staff members, the president, the doctors. It was just a show of unity. And Easton Wood said, no, it's not the only time we've done it. Rocket pulled that trick as well one day.
Yeah, you did it one day. I think they've been copping a bit of heat about some rumours and about being divisive, etc. And I think it's just a show of unity that they're actually showing the world that we are in it together. Yeah, we did it once, I think, when Jason Ackermanis was moved on, and then I think Jason had a few things to say to the media, and the media jumped on those. It was just about to say that we are in it together. I did it once at the Suns as well, when we beat Fremantle in Perth a couple of years ago. That was more about, from a different angle, it was about that everyone travelled together. It was a big win travelling to
Perth. It would have only still been 25 in the circle.
No, there was all the staff, so all the people that travelled.
Yeah, it took 3 or 4 with you.
So there's probably 40 people. So it's about them, the hard work that they've shown, and it was just, I suppose, enjoying the spoils of a good win away.
But people are criticising it, saying, look, you haven't won a flag, but there's times when you need to do these things.
Yeah, I don't think it's about the 4 points as such. It's a bigger issue. It's about getting everyone involved and saying that you're a part of it as much as the players.
And just quickly back to that Geelong game, I mean, I didn't mind the sub rule in some ways because it sort of coaches had to be had to think on their feet as to how to use it, and it also evened up the play, whereas you only had three on the bench, and if there was injuries, it was less of an impact. I mean, Geelong really got run over because they had less players available, and if the sub rule had been there, it probably would have been a better contest.
Yeah, I like the sub rule, but not 21-1. I like 22-1, but I don't like the coaches using it as a tactical. I think we can have that sub rule because I think going forward, concussion is going to be a bigger issue because I think we're going to rule them out more frequently and more easily, which I agree with, and that's fine, that's duty of care. But if you get a concussion player in the first quarter, then you get an injury, you're actually two down. So I think if you had a sub player who can come on to replace only for the concussion player, so he's on for 20 minutes, and then if that player's off, he stays on, or for an injured player. Now, the only way you can replace an injured player, if that injured player who comes off cannot play next week, so he's automatically ruled out. So it's like if the Geelong game, Guthrie with an ankle, you know he's not going to play next week, you can have the sub player. So you can't use it for a player who's got a little cramp, comes off, and you put the sub player on, well, that player can't play the next week. The AFL's only issue with it would be, and I think the Players Association should look at it because I think it's a duty of care, is the payment of players. So that's an extra player to play as a cost to the game. So maybe we need to look at how that can be minimised.
It's a good idea, but what if the player was going that badly, Rocket, that you pull him off and say, look, you can have a rest next week, you're not really injured, but do we just need to get him off the park? Could it be still flaunted in some way?
Yeah, probably. And this is just obviously floating initially, but those type of things, yeah, if a player's not injured as well, there'd be some little things that coaches would do, as they would always. So you need to tighten in certain areas. But I think the concept of having a player there for a concussion player and certainly an injured player, maybe there's an AFL medical officer, which there is at every ground, makes that decision and has the report that they are injured.
What about little Gaz, your mate? He travelled, Rocket, to start with, and things didn't go too well. Was that a risk taking him because he doesn't do a lot of frequent flyer points?
No, he's certainly not used to it. I think as Chris Scott mentioned, it's only early in the season, but he was coming off a hammy in the pre-season. 6 day break, travel. I don't think maybe that was an issue, but he did seem to really give them a lift that third quarter. He was probably their best player at half time. He seemed to do a lot more running at intensity than he had the previous 2 weeks. So whether it was a cumulative effect of that build-up of the travel and his intensity around, but looks like, and the rumours going around, that maybe a bit more than the 3 or 4 weeks, you know, it could be 6+, which will be a bit of an issue for them.
So what is he, 33? If you're Chris Scott, just a little bit concerned now, that's the second one. Once you get to that age, they can become chronic.
Yeah, I would think that they would give him an extra week or two to get extra training into him. So if it's a 4 week injury, could they make it 5? If it's a 6 week injury, it might be a 7 or 8.
Does it play with Gaz's confidence, this sort of thing? Is he a type of player who's always in the back of his mind, hope it just doesn't go again?
Yes, it does. Yeah, he's like that. He does everything possible. He's very professional. He'll be in the club all the time to get the right physio and the right strength work. But by the same token, he will want himself to be 100%. So that's why I reckon that extra week or two will come into play.
Destination Fantasy Island, the player update.
Well, this is where we talk about some of the big names, maybe some of the guys you could get in fantasy footy, but also the guys who are flying and maybe struggling a little bit. Nick Nat's certainly going all right. Is he the most valuable player in the comp?
Gee, it's a big statement, the most valuable player.
But he's just, for minutes played and impact, it's extraordinary what he can do.
Yeah, I think they're using him really well. I think his minutes will increase as he's getting his match fitness, but his ability to direct the ball to his teammate, which is vital, either clearance, especially a centre bounce clearance, but even a stoppage around the ground, it's so valuable because you're actually kicking into space. The numbers aren't back there already. And then his follow-up. But he really has improved his marking and his forward, but he'd certainly be on the podium, but whether it'd be the gold medalist at this stage, I'm not too sure. I think a bloke in Sydney might be their number one at the moment.
Oh, Buddy is on fire, isn't he? And back at Etihad this week. And just looking through the Bulldogs lineup, No Marcus Adams, no Dale Morris. Now, Zane Cordy's been rubbed out. They haven't got a lot of key defenders left. What do they do with Buddy? There's no obvious matchup.
No, there's not. So there's obviously three options going with Lance. One is get your matchup right, and I don't think they've got one, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Two is, like they played last week, just manic pressure around the ball, around the source, as it's termed at Clubland. Everyone has a role to play. Cover that as best they can. Another one is linked with the second one as far as the manic pressure, is a person that's not in play, like off-ball running we call it, be able to get on his left-hand side, be able to come back and support that opponent so he can't wheel on his left. So he's in red-hot form and what he can do. I've been really impressed. I think it's the best he's been playing because he's just so consistent. He's never out of the contest where before he'd sort of had bad periods and his body language wasn't great or he'd give silly free kicks away. He's not doing that. He's tackling well. His last two goals of the weekend were fantastic. He just stayed in the contest. As far as a matchup, he's marking his best I've seen. So you need a player who's either going to compromise themselves in the air or compromise themselves with agility because he's got both. I would think they would go with a player who's got some agility and who can actually run with him at certain levels. Now, people are saying he gets the ball up the ground, but he's kicking him from 70, so you can't afford to let him go too far. His field kicking's the best it's been as well, so he's setting goals up. But I think they'll compromise. I don't know who the player will be, whether it's a Fletcher Roberts. Young Norton's probably just not strong enough at all, and they just can't afford to get in a body contest with him. So it's been an interesting day for the Dogs.
Very interesting. Paddy McCartan, what do you do with him, Rodney? Is it time for a spell in the VFL?
I think he's really a victim of the modern-day footy. I really feel for him because I think he's got some talent. He's a victim of the forwards who've got to get up the ground and get back obviously that he tends to struggle with that. So I really feel for him, whether we need to change the rules a little bit as for the congestion which enables some forwards to stay
at
home.
Is that a recruiting issue that surely you could see this coming that perhaps was going to be a challenge?
Probably didn't think he'd be getting as big as he is. I don't think he's fat. He's just really got muscly and really a big unit. I don't know whether you could predict that. He didn't seem to be that propensity when he was younger. I'm not too sure totally on that. But, yeah, I think you've got to take in the way the game's going as well. And that's where when you recruit players or draft, you really need to have a foresight and need someone in your club who's got innovation strategy about where the game's going. And the game changes and it will change again. So hopefully that it can change for the better for Paddy. But he probably does need a break, Membry and Bruce, and they probably need a bit more agile forward line to put pressure on because at the moment they do look a bit big in cumbers and the ball comes out pretty easy.
And we spoke about Brendan Bolton earlier. Wietering, he just looked totally shot on Friday night as if it's just sort of all become too much. He needs obviously to go back just out of the spotlight for a while and just get back to basics.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Number one draft pick, and he struggled round one and struggled round two. Then you, with players, there's a couple of ways to go is to put them back for the conference, but you have the conversation with the player, see what he thinks, how his headspace is. Some players just say, listen, I need to go back. I need to, my confidence is shot. Maybe he's at that stage. I think they stuck with him because they got confidence in him, but maybe he just needs to build the blocks again. And players get themselves in those situations where you have some mental demons, you really are struggling, and he looks in that stage at the moment.
And Tommy Mitchell, your mate's still flying. I mean, he just keeps getting the footy. Just the hands are so quick and just the quick kicks. I mean, hard to stop.
He is hard to stop because he's so agile around the stoppage. He's on the move all the time. You try and educate players about being on the move rather than stationary. So he's got quick feet, but also his anticipation and reading of the ball. Like he doesn't start where the ball's going to. He's actually starting 3, 4, 5 metres away and knows where it's going and actually moves to it. And he's quicker than it. And he's very good at, a player's hanging onto him, be able to get his hand away as well. So his hands are more damaging than his feet. And he tends to kick it shorter because he can spray the ball a little bit. But I think it proved the weekend. They put some time into him, Richmond. He still ends up with 40. So I think you've got to try and minimise his work around stoppages and hopefully can put some pressure on him.
Just finally, Jager O'Meara, a little bit about him. Where do you think he's at? He's just slowly getting there.
Oh, he is. I think he's improving every week. His game against Geelong the week before was an improvement, but he probably just didn't use the ball as well. And I think he's started to get some confidence with his use of the footy. I don't think he's got total confidence in his leg by the way he kicks at the moment. But he's certainly tough. He's running a lot better. he'll get better week by week. So I think we'll see the best of Jager if he can stay injury free by about half to two thirds way through the season.
Has he still got the turbo jets? Up at the Suns, he had this.
Yeah, he certainly had. He had a change of pace and some agility. He hasn't got that back totally yet. That is improving incrementally. So you would hopefully think that if that can keep improving and in confidence, and keep saying confidence in your body is a vital thing with players, I wouldn't be surprised by halfway through the season that he's taken another level.
Well, we're more than halfway through. In fact, we're deep in time on Rockets. So thanks for joining us again and great insights. And you'll be back next week. We're going to dig deep into your brain again.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be here and look forward to everyone listening next week.